Next up, Joker's Wild. Tom, can you give us a summary of this band's history?
Sure thing. Joker's Wild started off in November 1965, covering band jobs for other bands that had broken up and could not fulfill their contracts. In the original lineup was Dave Wagner on lead vocals, Danny Johnson on bass guitar and vocals, Gene Balaban on guitar and vocals, Dave Middlemist on keyboards, guitar, and vocals, and Pete Huber on drums. The group played under a variety of names, including the New Grammys, Cordon Blues, and the Scoundrels. The band played the popular rock songs of the time. Donnie Larson, bass player with the Underbeats, suggested the band use the name Joker's Wild. The band members approved of the new name. In 1966, David Anthony Productions signed the band and kept them busy on the road, playing at teen clubs and ballrooms throughout the upper Midwest. Starting in October 1966, the band went through a number of changes in members, and by March 1967, the lineup was Lonnie Knight on lead vocals, Bill Jordan on lead guitar and vocals, Greg Springer on keyboards and vocals, Danny Johnson on bass guitar and vocals, and Pete Huber on drums and vocals. During this time period, the band had developed a stage show that featured a smoke machine and a psychedelic light show. In June 1967, the band released the first of their three 45s. The record was on the local Metrobeat label. By January 1968, the band had evolved into a three-piece power trio with Lonnie Knight, Danny Johnson, and Pete Huber. At this point, the music became more progressive in the hard rock style. The band packed out the stage with enough equipment for three bands. At this time, the group made a switch from playing cover songs to doing original material. In June 1968, the band was on the road and stopped by the Joliet, Illinois fairgrounds to see Blue Cheer. It turned out that Blue Cheer never made it to the show, and Joker's Wild filled in for the missing band that night, thanks to the quick-thinking David Anthony. The band performed an unrehearsed version of Summertime Blues, the big hit by Blue Cheer, and some members of the audience actually thought that Joker's Wild were the band Blue Cheer. Over the years, the band opened up for a number of national acts, including The Shadows of Night, The Association, The Five Americans, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Canned Heat, Procol Harum, Albert King, and Grand Funk Railroad. In the summer of 1969, Pete Huber left the band and Bill Gent took over on the drums. Joker's Wild played through the end of 1969 and then came to an end.
Right now we have Pete Huber on the phone, one of the original members of Joker's Wild. Pete, can you share with us some of your memories of the time with Joker's Wild?
Oh, man, the whole thing was crazy.
It was.
I think of some of the things that we did. You know, we spent time in the recording studio. We spent time on the road. We traveled a lot. And, you know, I sometimes when I think of goofy things, I think of the time in the recording studio.
You want to elaborate on that?
Well, you know, a lot of guys are really comfortable in the recording studio, but I wasn't. I was really uncomfortable playing in the studio. You know, on stage, I had to play hard and loud enough.
You were a madman. You had three sets of drums.
Yeah. And, you know, this was back before the drums were mic'd, and Denny, you, and Lonnie each played through several of the biggest amps that were available. I can remember you had big Fender amps, at least two, early on, and in later years, how many did you have?
Well, we went to a couple stacks of Marshalls and a couple stacks of Sun amps, the biggest ones they had.
And loud.
Yes. I know that was hard for a drummer to compete with back then when you're not being mic'd and we had the amplification.
You know, I couldn't get through a song without breaking a stick or several sticks. So you can imagine when I got in the studio, this was a big change for me. It was really hard for me to play softly and tastefully in the studio. I was definitely out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
And another thing in the studio, I never knew that I didn't know the words to our songs. You know, we'd learn a new song, we'd practice it once or twice, then we'd play them on stage, when we were learning the songs, I'd be focusing on the starts and the stops and the drum-related things. And I really didn't pay much attention to the lyrics unless I had a harmony part to sing. Then on stage, I was behind the PA speakers and the guitar amps, and back then, you know, we didn't have stage monitor speakers or anything. So I never heard the words to any of our songs back from back on the drum set. So it was always fun for me to hear the songs for the first time when we recorded them.
So you're kind of like a deaf mute back there, huh?
Yeah.
I remember it was Pete's Lumberyard because the sticks were flying all the time.
I think one night I broke 80 sticks, if I remember. We used to buy them by the gross. And, you know, I used the biggest sticks that I could. Otherwise, I would have broke the heads to the drums. It was really hard to play along with you guys.
The record Peaceman, do you have any recalls of that in the studio? Because that's going to be the next song we're going to be playing.
Oh, wow. You know, to me, that was my favorite song that we recorded. I liked Witch because I thought that was a cool song. And I really liked All I See Is You because that was the first song that we recorded. But for me, I think Peaceman best defined, you know, the sound of Joker's Wild. That recording to me really captured how I felt. There were, you know, it was great bass with lots of original runs that go all over the place. And Lonnie had such dynamic guitar work. And the vocals on the record, whether they're good or bad, really sounded like I thought we actually sounded. I really like the finished product of Peaceman.
And we're going to listen to that right now. Back with Pete Huber here. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to flip that record over. We're going to go to Tomorrow, and I believe you wrote that song. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was just a girl had broken up with me, and I was sad. And I just couldn't get away from her because we'd be together, and then we wouldn't be happy, and then tomorrow I would hope that we could get back together again. So that was kind of the essence of the song. I think I know what you're after. I think you're up to no good was one of the lyrics in it. So.
Okay, you're right. All righty, we'll listen to Tomorrow right now, written by Pete Huber.
I can't explain.
anything else you would like to add?
Well, I just wanted to talk about a couple of things, if you have time.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, we put on over 100,000 miles a year, and that was with only AM radio and no air conditioning, and we had a lot of great experiences. One of them was we played in a place called the Cobblestone Ballroom in Storm Lake, Iowa.
I remember it well.
I was always humbled by the number of kids that would show up. The ballroom would be filled. The parking lot would be filled. As many kids outside as inside. And at one point in time, David Anthony, our booking agent, the brilliant guy that he was, cut a deal where we got a cut of the door. So on that particular night, the place was just jammed. So we got paid, and we got paid in $1 bills. So if you can imagine the next Monday morning, now this was before direct deposit. So here at the bank in Camden, our two hippies, myself and Denny, flowered shirts, long hair, bell-bottom jeans, and we've got shoe boxes and drum cases full of $1 bills. Long line of businessmen waiting there. And of course, you know, the bank tellers had to count every single one of those $1 bills to make sure they were accurate.
That is funny.
That was a great memory. And I had one experience on the road that scared me to death. Do you remember Crazy Frank? That was the name we gave to one of our band boys.
Frank Cox.
Frank Cox drove the truck, and we had a hard and fast rule, you know, when we were playing that the guy who was riding shotgun was never allowed to fall asleep. His job was to keep that driver awake so he wouldn't roll the van and wreck the equipment. And we were going across South Dakota on the freeway, and it was the middle of the night, and I was riding shotgun, and it was my job to keep Frank, the driver, awake. And, of course, I fell asleep. And I'm sound asleep, and all of a sudden I hear banging coming from the roof of the truck. And this is one of those big 38-foot trucks with all the equipment in it. I hear banging on the roof, and I wake up with a start and look over, and Frank had put the truck in cruise control. We're going down the freeway 80 miles an hour, and Frank had climbed out the window and was standing on the window edge up on top of the cab of the truck, going 80 miles an hour. Well, you can imagine, I never fell asleep with Frank driving again.
That's scary. Oh, that's wonderful.
But, Denny, we sure had a lot of great opportunities. You know, we played with Creedence Clearwater Revival, TNT, Purple Harem, Shadows of Night, The Association, Albert King. We even did a thing with Twiggy the Model. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that. At Dayton's St. Paul, we did that show.
Yep. And do you remember this one? I think it was South Dakota, a county fair, outside, middle of the day, middle of the afternoon, on a stock car racetrack.
Okay, that was Webster, South Dakota.
And, you know, it was all young kids and grandparents. And I thought, man, our regular music stuff is not going to work. So for about 2 hours, we sat there just telling stupid hippie jokes, laughing and making fun of ourselves, and the crowd loved us.
Yep. Interesting.
And, you know, lastly, I kind of think back of my time with the Jokers, especially in the studio, and I thought it was downright humbling. You know, back in the 60s, everybody had a band.
Yep.
Handful of bands were actually working, but very few bands had the financial resources to get into the studio and record. So for me, it was very validating and important to be able to record, realizing someone's paid a ton of money for us to have that opportunity.
Yeah, a lot of bands didn't record back then. A lot of the, you know, there's a lot of good bands that were out there that just have no records at all.
And you know, I felt very lucky to be working with you, Denny, and Lonnie Knight, and having David as a booking agent.
Well, thank you. I feel the same.
You guys are really talented and innovative. You know, we always focused on being professional, creative, and we were always producing original material, even though that wasn't really a popular concept for working bands to be playing their own songs.
Yeah.
You guys always came up with new ideas, so that was great. And we had a lot of fun.
Yes, we did. Miles of fun. Thank you, Pete Huber, for spending the time with us right now with some of your memories on the band Jokers Wild.
Thanks, Denny.
Bye-bye.